We left off last week. We were discussing the issue of Onshin Min HaDin, how that plays out in terms of Mamonos. Just to review for a moment, when it comes to Onshin HaGuf, when it comes to punishment such as Misa, Malkus, so the Gemara tells us that you, at least for Misa, for sure, you can't be Onshin Min HaDin. You can't punish somebody based on something that we derive from a Kavah Chomer. It has to be something that says in the Chomer. You can't make it up based on a Kavah Chomer. When it comes to being Botzi Mamon, can we make a person pay money based on a Kavah Chomer? So Tosfos observed in the Beis and Baba Kama, the answer is yes. If the Mishnah is deriving all kind of things, Shor, Bor, and Eish, Kavah Chomer, and Mamatzin, is all the discussion we had last week. And when it comes to making a person pay money, it seems like it doesn't seem to be a problem. It seems that we can make a person pay money if it makes sense based on a Kavah Chomer. The problem was is that there was a Michilta in two places. The Michilta was written by the Tanoim, it's a parish in Sefer Shmos, that seems to disagree with that. Both the Michilta in terms of Bor, Michilta in terms of Dal Behei, a few different places, the Michilta seems to take the view that you cannot make a person pay money based on something that's derived from a Kal V'chomer. So assuming that's what the Michilta said, we're going to see as the sugya develops a little bit more that some Rishonim question when that's even what the Michilta's intent was. But we're right now learning Tosfos. We're still in Tosfos' mode. That there is an official machlekes at Tanai about this very point. Can we cause a person to pay money based on a Kal V'chomer? So the question is, what's the issue? What exactly is the point of contention? What are they arguing about? So we said at the very end of the shiur this week that probably the only way to answer this question is to understand why is there a principle of Ein Onshin Min HaDin in the first place? Why is it true when it comes to a punishment that's meted out in terms of Dinei Nefashos? If we understand why it's true there, then we can begin to extrapolate, or not extrapolate, what are the reasons applying that. So what is the rationale for this idea of Ein Onshin Min HaDin? The truth is the Gemara does derive from a pasuk, but is there something more, something deeper than that? So there is a sugya in the 11th of the Maamar Kamos on page 2, which may begin to shed some light on this answer. So there's a Gemara in the 11th of the Maamar Kamos in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Gimel Min Aleph. Ma narahama rasa shalo ba el lepogba amra Torah nita lahatzila minafsha. There is a halacha that if a person is attacking a young girl, Narama Rasa, she's already married, she's already had kiddushin, so it's considered to be a real bona fide gilya rayos. If somebody's coming to attack her, so you are obligated to save the victim, even if the only way to save the victim is to take the life of the attacker. So you're allowed to do that, you're supposed to do that. The Torah says that explicitly in Parshas Kitzeitze, that Ein Moshi Allah, the Torah says that if the young girl is being attacked, and nobody's coming to save her. Nobody's coming to help her. So the Torah Shabbat Peh explains to us from the fact that the Torah is bemoaning the fact that Ein Moshi Allah, nobody's saving her, implying that what's supposed to happen is somebody's supposed to save her. Somebody's supposed to step up to the plate and protect her at all costs. Even if the only way to save her from being attacked is by killing the quote-unquote Rodef in this case, he's not trying to kill her, he's trying to be Mizana with her. But the Gemara says, Amr Torah, Nito Etzil Benafsho. So one is permitted, one is required to take out the life of the person who's attacking her. So comes the Gemara and says, Madach Narahamo Rasa, which in a certain sense is not so terrible. He's not coming to kill her. He's trying to do a very, very bad thing to her. He's going to be pogim her. He's going to defile her. It's going to be a terrible thing. But he's not coming to kill her. And still the Torah says that you take out the Rodef. Rodef achaveir lahargal achas kama v'kama. How much more so? If Reuben's running after Shimon to kill him, Reuben's running with a knife after Shimon, and the only way to save Shimon's life is to kill the Rodef. So you have to do it. You have to do it. Gemara says that if it's Efshel Latzilo B'Echa Me'Evarav, if you're able to save everybody, namely you can save the victim, the intended victim, and also save the life of the attacker, if you can instead shoot for the legs and knock out the Rodef without killing him, you're obligated to do so. You're not allowed to stop and kill the Rodef just like that. But if you're not able to, if all else fails, then the halacha is clearly that it's permissible and you're obligated to kill the Rodef in order to save the life of the innocent victim. So the source for this halacha of Rodef is a Kal V'chomer, because the Torah only speaks about the case of the Narah Marosa. So the Gemara says, well, logically, if it makes sense by Gilarayas, which is not, in the greatest scheme of things, not as bad, Ticha is even higher, so how much more so that you take out the life of the Rodef? So the Gemara asks a very strange question. The Gemara asks, Onshin Min HaDin, can we manage somebody? Can we mete out a punishment based on a Kal V'chomer? Now, before we even continue to see how this is relevant for our discussion, who said anything about the word Onesh? V'shtet Onesh here. I'm talking about Pekuach Nefesh. I'm talking about saving a person's life. I'm talking about saving the intended victim of a crime. What does it have to do with an Onesh? So you see a tremendous yisod from this Gemara. See a chiddush gadol from this Gemara, that the halacha of rodev is not just latzolas anirdav. The reason why the Torah lets you and requires you to take out the rodev is not just to save the innocent victim. It's part of that also, but there's an aspect of onesh here as well. That it's not regular classic onesh based in because there are no edim and there's no hasra and there was no discussion, there was no case, there were no 23 judges. So all the trappings of a regular case within the nefesh is not here. It's a special chiddush of Torah that b'shas ma'ase. You can only do it when he's being rodev. If the active or defect happened to it, let's say Reuben was running after Shimon and I was too late, and Reuben already killed Shimon, I can't kill Reuben then. Then I have to take him to Beis Din, and we have to judge him, and witnesses, warning the whole nine yards. But b'shas ma'ase, b'shas redifa, there's a certain dimension of onesh that's being meted out here. And it's for this reason that the Gemara was comfortable posing the dilemma, posing the question, posing the difficulty. Can you be managed a person based on a kav chomer? Whenever I see this Gemara, I always remember it was somewhat of a humorous story that happened to me. This goes back about 35, 36, something like that, years ago. I was in Rabbi Willig's shiur, my first year in yeshiva. And we were learning, at the end of that year, we were learning some of these sugyas in Sanhedrin, the sugyas about the rodev. And we were discussing, well, the lomdash, chakirah nechronim, is rodev to save the life of the nirdev, is rodev to be ma'anish the rodev, is it a combination of both, all the nuances. This is one of the big rites, this is one of the big makaris that's quoted, that seems to be at least at some dimension of onesh here. So I remember at the time, it was towards the end of the year, and there was a very chashav Rosh Hashiva who had come from Eretz Yisrael to spend Shabbos in Riverdale at the time. And on Friday night, he had come to daven. It was springtime, so he had come to daven at the early minyan. And I happened to be davening at the early minyan, Rabbi Willig Shul also, that Friday night. And there was a little bit of a mix-up because the person who he was supposed to eat at was making Shabbos late. So someone got the signals got crossed. So he had davened early, and now he had nothing to do. He was sitting around for nothing to do for 40 minutes. And I remember Rabbi Willig felt so bad that here he was a guest in that Chashur Shiva. So I remember he said to me, I really used to call me Rebbe Tzvi. He still does. I was a Rebbe of all his kids. So it was still closer. He says, Rebbe Tzvi, just take this Rosh Hashiva around, walk him around for 40 minutes around town and keep him entertained. Keep him occupied. Talk to him any sugi you want, just keep him busy. So we happened to have been learning that week. We were learning the sugi of Onesh, but I didn't really learn the sugi of whether Rodev is an Onesh. So for 40 minutes, in broken Hebrew, I tried to explain to him, the Chakira of Akhavot. So I remember he was so excited. He said, America? I'm doing the Chakira. The whole thing was like, everyone in America knows this. This is what we do all the time. We talk about Onesh, but I didn't, whether it applies to Rodev. The stall tactics. Okay, so getting back to the story. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, how could we possibly derive from a Kavah Chomer to Enon Shemir Adin? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Vei Rebbe Tana, Hekeshu, it's not a Kavah Chomer. It's actually a Hekesh. Hekesh means when there are two things written in the same Pasuk. It says in the Chomesh, Kika Sheyakum Isha Re'eru Tzachon Nefesh. It says explicitly that attacking a young girl is the same as killing somebody. So the Torah is coming to compare the two. So the Gemara breathes a sigh of relief that we have derived the parasha of Rodef from Na'ara Marasa to Rotzech, to a murderer, but not through the vehicle, not through the mechanism of a Kavah Chomer. That would have fallen short because they don't shimna din. But the vehicle that does work is the vehicle of Hekesh. So it's clear from this Gemara that ein onshin min ha-din, aval kein onshin min ha-hekesh. If something is actually appears in the Pasuk itself, even though it's not explicit in the Pasuk, but it's two halachas that are written in the same Pasuk, that can be used even at the expense of actually killing somebody. Kein onshin min ha-hekesh.
Rabbi, we've been approaching Hekesh and Kal v'Chomer as a logical derivative, whereas here the Torah is laying it all out.
Oh, my God, you're mechavin to Rashi. Mechavin to the next line of Rashi. Regular, the next memo. So it's clear from this Gemara that there is a difference in a Kal v'Chomer that falls short on the one hand, whereas the Hekesh suffices. What's the reason for the difference? So Rashi, in the 12th of the Mamma Kermis, Rashi writes, Hekesh Shehu, Shehuka Shotzechet Amarasa, V'chol Hekesh Ugzere Shava Mufnes. Any hekesh or exereshava, where the words are available for the purpose of comparing two words in two different psukim, hareyu kimefurash b'mikra. That's the punchline. That it's like a pasuk in Chumash. You don't believe in hekesh. You don't believe in authenticity of a hekesh. If it's a hekesh, it's as if it's written explicitly in the Chumash. The onshin mimenu, and you can even punish somebody. Why is that? So Rashi now gives you the real reason. L'fishalo nitna l'medrash me'atzmo. Hekesh is not something that you thought of yourself. Hekesh is not something that a human being derived. It's karel kemefurish b'mikra. It's in the Chumash itself. Aval mikal v'chomer, but a kal v'chomer, she'odem dan kal v'chomer me'atzmo. A person can derive a kal v'chomer on his own. He doesn't have to have a tradition. Afa b'shlo kibla mirabo. I don't have to have an explicit tradition from my Rebbe, from his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Since I can be done my own kal v'chomer, ain own shemin menek dafirim makas. Therefore, ain own shemin adin kicks in. So Rashi is explaining to us what is the ultimate reason why ain own shemin adin. Because it's a midah shebetorah shenita lidosh me'atzmo. Whatever you can do by human means, we can't give it onish for. What does that mean exactly? Why is that? What's wrong with that? Well, we don't say Rabbi Shmuel, but we don't believe in kavod chomer.
So according to Rashi, shouldn't that apply to
mamonos
also?
We're gonna get there in a second. That's what we're leading up to. So what does that mean then? Because it's nita le'atzmo, but it's Rabbi Shmuel, shlosh le'midas tarish be kavod chomer. The Torah Shema Pekosh Baruch himself told Moshe Rabbeinu that we're allowed to darish kavachomis. So basically, the Acharonim explained with us Rashi as follows: that kavachomis are 100% true. We believe in Munashlema, we have the right to darish in kavachomis. However, in the back of our mind, we're always worried that the kavachomis may be wrong. There may be a pircha. There may be a question of the kavachomis. Right now, we don't see any pircha. We can't think of anything to refute this kavachomis. So the Torah tells us, so you have to go the way you call. You have to call him like you see him. If it looks to me like this is a good kavachomer, I don't have any question. The kavachomer seems to be standing up to the test of kavachomers. So I paskin shail is based on the kavachomer. So I can do anything and everything in halacha based on the kavachomer, except for one thing: you can't kill somebody with a kavachomer. You know why? Because you're going to kill someone with a kavachomer, and tomorrow someone's going to ask, "Ooh, I have a good kash to kavachomer." Good kasha. Oh well, you know, chesamaisim is not in the realm for most people. So since you can't take a chance, it's true right now. By Shehu Shom, it's true. Right now, we believe b'munah shleim we're allowed to dash in kavachomers, but we have to always be weary about kavachomers because a kavachomer is something that's potentially subject to a pircha, subject to a question, because ultimately it was based on human logic. Therefore, the halacha is that ain on shem min adin, unlike a hekesh. Hekesh, nothing's going to go wrong with the Hekesh. Nothing's going to go wrong with the Gzeri Shava. You have a Misarish, Rapish, and Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the truth of the Torah. So nothing could possibly go wrong. Therefore, it's safe, so to speak, to dash in Hekesh and even to be managed. But that's how Rashi sizes up this sugya. The problem with Rashi is, or the issue with Rashi is that this Rashi is only true if a Hekesh is such that you need a Misarish to dash in Hekesh. The Gemara never says that. The Gemara says that you can't dash an exereshava. The atzmach exereshava is not hekesh. Exereshava means it says a word over here and it says a word over there. So you can't make up a bubamites. It says vaydabashem moshalim over here. It says lamer over there. Oh, it must be the two things are the same. That's ridiculous. You have to have a mesora, kicha mistei Ephron. You have to lola meisha. You have to have, there are certain official exereshavas that were nimtzal Moshe Rabbeinu. So those exereshavas you can derive halachas from. So Rashi happens to say in Masechah Sukkah, at the beginning of the third parak, that just as ein adam don gezer shav me'atzmo, ein adam don hekesh me'atzmo. According to Rashi, you can't just make up hekesh. You can't say, oh, there are two dinim in the same pasuk. It must be to teach me da da da. You can't do that. Hekesh is not like a kavachomer. Hekesh is like a gezer shava. If that's true, then Rashi's pshat and it makes perfect sense. But Tosus in Masechah Sukkah disagrees with Rashi. Tosus says the Gemara never ever says that an ein adam don hekesh me'atzmo. According to Tosus, a hekesh is much closer in nature to a kavachomer. It's human logic, namely, we look at the pasuk and we say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these two things in the same pasuk? I don't have a mesora why. I have no idea why. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to analyze it and think it through. You know what? It makes a lot of sense. This is the reason why. It makes a lot of sense today, but it may not make sense tomorrow. Tomorrow, someone's going to say, you know what? Maybe the reason why they're in the pasuk is for a different din. You're right. Now the person's dead. So according to Tosus, who says that a hekesh can also is not a mesora per se. A hekesh is also subject to human decisions, human input. So if the whole reason of Einon Shem Nadin is only because we're afraid you're going to make a mistake, so then that would not explain why hekesh is any different. So obviously, according to Tosfos, there must be something else going on in this Gemara in Sanhedrin. We know for a fact in Sanhedrin, Einon Shem Nadin doesn't apply to hekesh. That's a given. We just read the Gemara together. According to Rashi's understanding of why Einon Shem Nadin, it's human intellect versus a Mesorah. So then that makes a lot of sense. But according to Tosfos, who places Hekesh closer to Kal V'chomer than it is to Gzeirah Shavah, so we got to go back to the drawing board. There has to be some other new, brand new reason why Ein Onesh Ben Adin. So what is that reason? If it's not Rashi, so what is that other reason? So there's a fascinating Maharsha in the 14th in the Maharsha, it's actually based on the Gemara, the 13th. When the Gemara said, Head in Samachdal and Rebbeis, tells us something literally from left field, which the Maharsha saw in this Gemara, the key to our sugya. So comes the Gemara and said, Head in Samachdal and Rebbeis, and says, Amra Vacha Brei Rava, Hevia Kozaro Potur, Shinema Mizaracha Velo Kozaracha. Not the most common halacha ma'aser shaila, the din of molech. So the Torah says in a few places, you're not allowed to hand over your children to the Ovdei Berezav, molech, terrible abomination that was so prevalent in the ancient world, of molech. So the Torah says, if a person gives over his children to molech, he's chayef skila and chayef karis, a disaster. So comes the Gemara and says, what if you give over all your children to molech? Every last child, you give your whole family, you give over to molech, potter. Then you put the why shenemar mizaracha v'lo kol zaracha. The Torah says umizaracha. We're going to read it. It's in Chris Torf Mincha Yom Kippur. Umizaracha latit l'savil avil molech mizaracha drasha v'lo kol zaracha. If you give over your entire family, then you get a freebie. Then it's okay. I didn't say okay. Then you put her. So the Maharsha on the 14th, the Maimakoma says that. Come on, there's got to be something deeper than that. What kind of story is that? So the Maharsha explains. In the 14th of Maimonides, Mizaracha v'Chozaracha, Kosav Asmag, ready from Rishonim, from the Sefer Mitzvot, one of the Balei Tosfos wrote, the Sefer Mitzvot, all of them, V'yesh b'zeh tam l'tshuvas haminim. He said, we have to give some explanation for this, because the Apocryphs were driving us crazy. The people who are saying the Gemara is a big joke, this, it doesn't make any sense. We have to try to come up with some kind of a rationale for this. So he says, I'll tell you exactly what the rationale is, says the Smag, a very powerful message. B'pnei shebemisas beizdin miskaprin hamumsin. Misas beizdin is not just an onesh, it's just a punishment, it's a kapara. All right, we say it in the Al-Khaitz, we say Mrs. Bezdin, I've Mrs. Bezdin's killer servant. Mrs. Bezdin is a mechaper. So, not that it's something that we should look forward to, but it's in a certain sense a privilege for the person. Because the person did such a horrible, terrible thing, he killed somebody. So the Torah says, La'arz le'chubakim dam, di'im adam shokh, the person did such a terrible thing, he was over the desire, you know, the terrible, terrible crimes. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he's going to get a kapara ayaday Mrs. Bezdin. So comes the smag and says, "V'zeh asa kol kach aveira gedoyla." The aveira of giving your entire family to the molech is so terrible, so horrible, so big. She'ein haKadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh shel kapara. The Baruch Hashem is not going to give him a privilege of Mises Beis Din. He said, "If a person gives one or two kids to the molech, right, that's bad. But it's not so big. It's the whole family. Every last child the Baruch Hashem gave, you give over to the molech. So it's so you can't even discuss how what a horrible crime that is." Baruch Hashem says, you're not going to get the privilege of Mrs. Bezin. It's an interesting mahalach of the smag. Says the Maharsha, based on this smag, the following fascinating comparison. Says, after all, we say that I can't punish somebody min hadin. You can't punish somebody based on a kavachomer. I forgot the kavachomer midi b'toira. Even though Kavachomer is one of the Yidgim of Midas, it's something that we pass in all other areas of Allah in. You can't punish somebody based on a Kavachomer. Why? The Eima, because maybe Zesh also Avera Chamura Bizu, Eino Miskape, but Onesh Amafush Bekalim Menu. Says the Maharsha, if you would have learned Pshat that all of Mrs. Bezdin is just simply an Onesh, so then it would have made sense. If you do the lower thing, you get into trouble. Kavacham, you do the greater thing, you get into more trouble. But once you add the dimension of kapara, it's a whole different ballgame. Just because a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a kapara for Avera X, which is not so bad, how do you know he's going to give you a kapara for Avera Y, which is much more severe? It says, once you introduce that concept of kapara into the equation of Mises Beis Din, then the whole meat of Kavacham falls by the wayside. Kavacham means Y is more chomer than X. We know that. But that's a reason why maybe you shouldn't get the Mrs. Bezin. So at the end of the day, says the Maharsha, it was almost like a quasi-derech halacha slash derech drush, and Ein Onesh Ben Adin is due to the unique aspect of kapara shebo. It's not really onesh. It's more of a kapara shebo. And therefore, the principle of enosh medin is true. So far, we have two very, very different approaches to why enosh medin. We have to figure out how any of this is going to make a difference in terms of mamonos, but we still have to collect all the different understandings. Why is there such a principle called enosh medin?
Is this the only Gemara that mentions that punishment is a kapara in addition?
The Gemara doesn't even mention it. It's the smog's pshat within the...
This would never apply to Malchus.
Well, okay, so we have to see. Malchus is also a shul kapara. Malchus would be Mokom Miso Medes.
But you don't have anything. There's no kapara. It's such a terror, such a chomer aveira that we can't give you Malchus.
Means we don't know that. But once we don't have a reference point anymore, we have no way of monitoring, no way of measuring what the chomer aveira is at this point. Uh-huh. Once we say it's Mokom the next, we don't know. We're not sure what to do with it. So there's a third possibility as to what Enosh Medin may be based on. It's based on a Rambam in the 15th of Rambam. The Rambam's talking about a totally different topic. We have to extrapolate, hopefully, from this Rambam to bring it back to Asugya. So the Rambam in Beis Halach Aleph is dealing with the following dilemma in terms of Hilchos Kashrus. V'chlal shenemar, it says in the Chumash, v'chol behema mafresas parsa, v'shosa shesa shtei prasos, balas keira, Shemeya ani shekol she'enam alas geirim afresas parsa asura. The Torah starts out the parsha of kashrus by saying you can only eat an animal with split hooves and it chews its cut. It gives you the two simanim of tahara, of kashrus, and that's it. It says, these are the animals you can eat. If the Torah would have stopped at that point and never mentioned the word lav, never would have said anything about what not to eat, I would have known I can't eat treif animals. I would have known I can't eat a chazer. Why? Because I said, if the Torah says you can eat a cow and you can eat a sheep and you can eat a goat, the implication is you can't eat a camel, you can't eat a rabbit, you can't eat a pig. So I would have already known that. That would have been what we call a lav abba mechlal asei, a prohibition that's derived from a positive statement. But the rule is that a prohibition that's derived from a positive statement doesn't get malchus. So if the Torah would have just stopped at that point, I would have known already a kerit chazer, but it wouldn't have been a lav. Of a gomel, the Rambam continues in the second line, of a gomel, of a chazir, of a nevis, of a shafan, nema ezelo sochlu. Now the Torah says, black and white, don't eat the following four animals. Bimalei geirim afresas parsa. Halamadata shehen beloses, eh? Now we know for a fact that you eat chazir, yechai malchus, you eat a camel, yechai malchus. V'yafa b'sheish ben simen echon. All these four animals are the four animals, the only four animals that exist in the world that have only one of the two simon. All animals in the world either have both simoni kashrus, like the cows and the sheep and the goats. Most animals don't have any simoni kashrus, like the lions and the tigers and the bears and the elephants and all the above. And then you have a few very, very small category of animals that have one or the other. Three of them have one, and the chazir is the other one, and vice versa. So the Torah says that if you eat the chaz, you eat the camel, you chayav malchus, even though it only has one simon. What if a person eats elephant meat? So elephant meat, I could argue, it doesn't say in the Chumash not eating elephant. It doesn't say losochu elephant. It doesn't say a lav about eating an elephant. But we know you can't eat an elephant because there's an israsei, and a kal v'chomer, Madach, you can't eat chazer, which is almost half kosher. It's almost kosher. Oh, it's got half the simanim. Kavachom, you can't eat an elephant that has no simanim. So that's how the Rambam presents. The Rambam gets pretty much out of the Torah's konim. That's the source for all of kashrus. So again, the animals you're allowed to eat, the Torah says explicitly permissible. The four that are mentioned, the chazer, the gomel, etc., are spelled out precisely with a lav, no questions about it. And all other animals, we know they're usher anyway, as an asay. And the malchus is learned after b'kavachomer. So a famous kasha comes the Magid Mishnah in the 16th of the Maamar Kamos, and the Magid Mishnah says, wait a second, what happened to Enosh Medin? How could you give a guy malchus? How can we say you can't eat elephants, and if you eat elephants, we're going to give you malchus, because it's a kal v'chomer from a chazir, Enosh Medin. So if you take a look at the Magid Mishnah, the very end of the Magid Mishnah, the end of the second line, l'fisha elu kvar nesru b'lav b'b'chol ha'seh min ha'tor b'b'yur, Kevin Shekain, Efshad Alav Shem Levobakat Mikal Vachomer. Says the Magid Mishnah, no, this is not subject to the limitation of Enosh Medin, because we already know that you can't eat elephant meat. Enosh Medin means you can't take something that we know nothing about. We have no idea whether you're allowed to do this action or not. Kal Vachomer, you're not allowed to do it. No, that you can't do. You can't be madnish a person based on Kal Vachomer. Here, if you would ask the Shaila before the Kal Vachomer, can I eat elephant meat? Of course not. The Torah says you can't eat, the Torah says, I say, it's for sure awesome in a Torah to eat the elephant. Eloah, we're not sure whether you get malchus for it. to take something that's usur already, that's already known beforehand, to make an isur into malchus, that you can do. To take, go from zero to malchus, you can do, but to go from isur to malchus, that you can do. What's the birah dama? So the Acharonim explain that the idea of enon shebir din means is that kal v'chomer was one of the midish atarid dashes behem, but you can only jump once. You can't jump twice. What does it mean? If the starting point is mutter, you could use kal v'chomer to create an isur. But you want to take a kal v'chomer and use it and use it and reuse it and reuse it, becomes super saturated, oversaturated. Kal v'chomer, one kal v'chomer per customer. That means one kal v'chomer per case in halacha. So you want to go from zero to usur, that you could do. You want to go from zero to usur, now we got the kal v'chomer on a roll. Let's take it from zero to usur to being chai malchus. Zero to usur to give you misa, that you can do. Ein nature redin means that the midas kal v'chomer is limited in scope, limited in nature. But if you already started at the stage of usur, and now you're just trying to get, hike it up one notch, just to get one more step higher, namely to onesh, that you can do. Because there's nothing wrong with onesh v'din. The phrase in onesh v'din is a little bit of a misnomer. There's nothing wrong with being onesh min adin. What's wrong is that you can't be onesh on top of once you already use the kavachomer to create an iser. That's what the Baka Mishnah seems to be saying, but that's a Rambam. So we have three radically different opinions in the Rishonim as to what exactly this principle is all about. Like, Mayai Mechateis, there's such a rule called Ein Onesh Min Adin. So according to Rashi and Sanhedrin, it's based on the fact that kavachomer is maybe wrong. It's kavachomer may have a mistake, may have a question to it, and we can't risk killing the person. That's Rashi's view. We saw the Maharsha, based on the Smag, says it's based on the fact that we can't give an onesh because maybe the person is not entitled to that kapara. According to the Rambam, with the Magen Mishnah, it's based on the fact that kavachomer just can't accomplish all that much. They can only go one step, can't go two steps. So now that we have the three official reasons for Ein Onesh Min Adin, now we have to see where does this place us in terms of Mamun. We're really learning the sugya of Bava Kamma, the base. Sometimes it's hard to remember that we're learning the base of Bava Kamma, but we are learning the Tosis, the base of Bava Kamma. But Tosis raises the question, can we make a person pay money based on kavachomer? So let's figure it out. Let's work through the different reasons and see. So one of the reasons seems to be easiest, namely the Maharsha. If you go down the route of the Maharsha, then an Onesh Min Adin is because of the unique characteristic of kapara that has nothing to do with mamonis. If I dig a hole, I got to pay for damage. I don't need a kapara. I got to pay the damage because they only got the money. So, of course, Onesh Min Adin. If Onesh Min Adin is only rooted in Uchus Kapara, that has nothing to do with Dina Mamonis. So, according to the Maharsha, it would seem to be pretty simple. According to the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah, it would also seem to be simple. Namely, Ein Onesh Min Adin doesn't mean that Kavachomes can't, quote unquote, punish you. What it means is Kavachomes just can't do two steps. So you can't go from Mutter to Asa, from Asa to Chayev. But in Mamonis, there are no two steps. In Mamonis, there's only one jump. The jump is Potter to Chayev. The starting point, everyone's Potter to prove an Asur. We have a Kavachomer that indicates you have to pay money. Good, so pay the money. Only by Isurim, by Onshe Aguf, do we have that concept of a double jump. That's what Kavachomer falls short. But indeed, in Mamonis, where you don't have that principle altogether, it's just a simple from A to B. There's one line, one connection, go from zero to Chayev. So then Kavachomers can do the trick. So according to two out of the three reasons, it seems pretty clear that Ein Onesh Min Adin does not carry over to Mamonis. And like Tosafot said, it seems like we can be, quote unquote, make a person, manage a person to pay Mamon.
But for Mamonis, there are also different categories. You have, you could pay just the damage. You could pay damage plus.
Oh, okay. You're in Mechavet to the Rashba. You have to hang until tomorrow. The Rashba says that maybe there's the Mamonis and Knossos, the penalties. I mean, hold on. Meanwhile, Tosa is still talking within regular Mamonis, paying for the boar, paying for the broken window, those kinds of things. Once we enter the world of Knas, we may be talking a whole different language, right? But what about according to the first Pshat? What about according to Rashi's Pshat? So Rashi says that the reason why Ein Onesh Min Adin, it's too risky, because how are you going to kill the person and then tomorrow turn around and bring him back to life? It's not going to work. So therefore, sorry, Ein Onesh Min Adin. You can't do anything. Shev al tasa. You're not sure. Maybe there's a kasha. So would that svara carry over to Mamonis or not? So the Prima Godim is not sure about that very point. Everything I said last, the Rishurim is right out of the Prima Godim. The Prima Godim wrote a whole series of different svarim. And one of his svarim, Sefer Ginas V'Radim, his introduction, one of his first pieces, is all about Kavachomer and all about Ein Onesh Min Adin. And he collected all this information. He collected the Rashi and Maseches Sanhedrin, and he showed you the Maharsha, and he dug up the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah. He presents the three different stardom as to what Ein Onesh Min Adin is all about. And then he goes to analyze and say, so does this carry over to Mamonis or not? So comes the Prima Godim and he says, Does Rashi's reason apply or not? Says to be regarded, I don't know. A suffix, I'm not sure. What's a suffix? So on the one hand, you would think, come on, making a guy pay money is not as bad as killing the person. You kill a person, then you can't rectify it. You can't make him, can't bring him back to life tomorrow, so you can't risk it. Money, so let the Beis Din pass in the Kavachemi today, and if they make a mistake tomorrow, they'll get the money back. That's one side. Or one could take the other approach. Ever try to get money back from someone? Just the other day, I was on the phone with a certain company. There was a little bit of a mix-up with that. I had something on automatic payment, and I thought the automatic payment had stopped, and then I didn't have the automatic payment, so I sent the check, and then, of course, they sent me an email saying, thank you for the automatic payment that went through. So then I had two payments. So I had to spend an hour to try to get the money, and I'm still not sure I got the money back yet. So that's also not easier said than done. So comes the people, I was not sure. He said, you're going to make the guy pay the money, and then what's going to happen? Then tomorrow, sorry, we goofed to the Kavachomer. Let's get the money. The guy took the money already. He's ready. You're ready. He lost it already on the horses. And he's never going to get the money back. So the people got him says, he says, maybe that we have to be as careful with money to a certain extent as we are with the Anshei Guf. You can't risk it. Let's find a better way rather than a Kavachomer. So the people got him is not sure about that Nekuda. So when all the dust settles, the way Tosus presents the sugya is, we have a machlokes between the Mishnah and the Mechilta. Do we ultimately make a person pay money based on a Kavachomer? The way the Prima Gadol is presenting to us, that machlokes may hinge upon these reasons. Two out of the three reasons seem to point directly at the Tosus camp. One of the reasons, the first reason, may go either way. This is all assuming that the beer of the machlokes between the Mishnah and the Mechilta is based on the reasons of Einon Shemir Din. Maybe we have to go down a different route. Maybe we have a whole nother way of approaching the sugya. Maybe we've been focusing, I mean, hopefully everyone enjoyed three different reasons, Nashtimot Torah, but maybe that's not even the issue. Maybe that's not even the point. Maybe what we really should be focusing on is just how onesh is mamonis altogether. Let's not forget the name of the rule is Ein Onesh Min Adin. Who said that mamonis? It's called an onesh, bechlal, it's called an onesh. So maybe we have to leave Ein Onesh Min Adin for a minute and learn a little bit about Dini Mamonis, a little bit about Dini Mazikin, a little bit more about Vakama Sugya. So tomorrow we'll go back to the drawing board and the Beis Din, I'll try to figure out what is the ultimate obligation of paying for Nazikin, and maybe that'll shed a whole different light on the Sugya of whether Ein Onesh Min Adin is applicable by Mamonis or not. Tomorrow.